As your state superintendent, I am humbled by the work that goes on in public schools and libraries across Wisconsin to educate and serve our children and our citizens. I'm tremendously proud of the work of our public schools, once again leading the nation in graduation rates, and our libraries, which are national leaders in patron use and system collaboration. That's good news, you bet, but the work is not done. We must continue working to ensure all children graduate ready for college and careers. We are nowhere near that goal when 1 in 10 Wisconsin students drop out of high school. For Native American and Hispanic students, that number is 1 in 4. For our African American students, that number is 1 in 3. Graduation gaps persist for students with disabilities, English language learners, and students in poverty. High school dropouts earn less, rely more on social services, and are 4 times more likely to be unemployed than college graduates. For their future and ours, we must continue to fight to make every child a graduate prepared for the next step. I cannot stand here today without talking about what has occurred in Wisconsin over the past few months. Without a doubt, the last 8 months of political turmoil has taken a toll on our state, including our public schools and educators. Rancor over state funding cuts, the elimination of collective bargaining, unprecedented educator retirements, recall elections, and fears around the national economy have pitted community and family members against each other. This toxic political environment has generated anger towards those who have dedicated their lives to public service, with echoing memories of Hortonville resounding for many of us. This is not the Wisconsin I know, nor is this the Wisconsin I love. Now is the time. Now is the time to move beyond the harsh rhetoric and begin the slow process of rebuilding the trust that was so swiftly shattered. And it will take more than words, it will take action. It is not enough to say we respect teachers and value education. Our leaders must demonstrate it. We must reinvest in our schools, fix our broken system of funding, and ensure our educators have a seat at the table. That is how we can move forward. At the heart of this year's battles were really about economics and not education. And our precarious economic situation was a long time in making. Every generation of Americans from 1620 to 1970 was economically better off than the generation before. However, since the mid-1970s, real wages have stagnated for the vast majority of people. Income inequality has grown, and too many families now have to rely on several jobs just to make ends meet. Working families and their children, especially their children, didn't cause this economic condition, but it's hit them hard. Child poverty in Wisconsin is the highest in recent history and is growing at a rate higher than the nation's, a fact playing out in our schools and school buildings across the state. We cannot watch the American dream and middle-class opportunities fade away. This cannot be the legacy of our generation. Our kids, our grandkids, my grandkids deserve better. To rebuild our economy, to rebuild the American dream, we need more than just jobs. We need family-supporting careers, and investing in public education will help get us there. Public education is and always has been our pathway to prosperity, our pathway to a strong middle class, and it's always been the great equalizer. Our public schools opened 2 weeks ago, facing historic cuts in state aid. According to one recent report, this dramatic cut in aid to schools amounted to about $635 less per student, the largest single-year reduction in per-pupil spending among the states studied. It's a larger per-pupil cut than California, New York, Ohio, Michigan, Texas. The same study found that cuts have extended the recession and slowed the recovery and undermined education reform and the abilities of school districts to deliver high-quality education. Not every state made the drastic choices Wisconsin made. I'll say it again, education is a pathway to our prosperity, our pathway to a strong middle class. Public education can help get us there again. There are probably some who are saying, so what? School's open, buses are running, teachers and students are in class, kids have computers, the cuts didn't hurt. To them I say schools have to balance their budgets every year. There's nothing newsworthy about that. The real story is that this year, balanced cuts came at the expense of kids and working families. We're seeing a tidal wave of retirement, growing class sizes, and fewer course offerings. And this is only the beginning unless we change course. In a time of economic peril, we have put stumbling blocks rather than stepping stones on the way to prosperity. Despite these enormous challenges, we are doing everything we can to build a pathway to prosperity to ensure every child a graduate ready for college and career. We're working to create this pathway by focusing on four simple but powerful questions. What and how should kids learn? How do we know if they learned it? What do we do when they don't? How do we pay for it? These questions are the cornerstone for transforming our education system, and we've aggressively tackled each and every one. First, with regard to what and how should kids learn, we are the first state in the nation to adopt the Common Core State Standards, rigorous internationally benchmarked English language arts and mathematics standards that are now shared across 46 states and territories. And we're working to bring these new standards into the classroom. We're putting a new emphasis on early reading. Wisconsin used to be the national leader in elementary reading performance, but the reality is too many of our students aren't reading at grade level, and other states are closing early reading gaps faster than we are. To address this, we are working to strengthen our early learning standards, exploring statewide early literacy screening, and improving educator preparation and ongoing professional development to promote early reading success. We're also engaging the next generation of learning projects that use technology to customize the student experience. Technology-driven instruction personalizes and supports student learning beyond classroom walls 24/7, creating the possibility of individual learning plans for each student in the not-too-distant future. We must also continue to bridge the divide between high school, college, and career by expanding opportunities for every student to earn college credit or secure industry certifications while still in high school. Second question, with regard to how do we know if kids learn? We're developing next generation assessments tied to the standards. Soon these online adaptive exams will provide students, parents, and teachers the timely information and feedback they need to improve student learning. We're also upgrading our data systems to provide a wealth of information regarding student progress. For the first time, we are matching student progress from PK through 12 into higher education, and we're exploring ways to capture critical early learning data as well. The state is also helping districts across Wisconsin to use data to customize interventions and support for struggling and gifted students. In Milwaukee, these efforts, coupled with strong local leadership, are driving remarkable improvement in keeping kids in school and meaningful gains in academic achievement. The third question, what do we do when students are not learning? Focuses on supportive improvement through accountability. With stakeholders across Wisconsin leading the way in advancing educator effectiveness and school accountability. Together with a team of education leaders, we are crafting a fair and robust educator evaluation system. These reforms we are building are being developed with teachers and education leaders, not imposed upon them. Bringing our world-class educators to the table to advance meaningful reforms not only values their roles as professionals, but it results in a better product for kids. On school and district accountability, we have long known that the system imposed by No Child Left Behind is indeed broken. Congress is 5 years overdue in reauthorizing this broken law, and without changes, every school in the country could soon be labeled as failing. My fellow state education chiefs and I have pushed Congress and the United States Department of Education. As a result of that, Secretary Duncan has agreed to give states waivers in return for comprehensive state-led reform. As a result, Wisconsin is leading a nationwide movement to build a state accountability system that will replace No Child Left Behind. Our new system will include growth, annotatement, and will focus on graduating all students ready for college and career. It will identify and support struggling schools, as well as reward and replicate the practices of our highest performers. And perhaps most importantly, our system will include all publicly funded schools, traditional public schools, charter schools, and choice schools. We know that with Wisconsin voices at the table, we can create something better than what Washington has imposed. More importantly, this is a remarkable opportunity as a state to have a conversation about what we value about our schools and then build an accountability system that mirrors those values. And of course, one final question: how should we pay for our schools? We advanced the first comprehensive school reform package in decades called the Fair Funding for a Future Plan. The plan laid out groundwork to prioritize existing resources and created a pathway for significant and necessary reinvestment in our public schools. I urge our leaders to take this up now. Our education partners and leaders here today recognize the importance of this agenda and are working with me to ensure that every child is a graduate prepared for future success and prosperity. And I thank them for that. We are the agents of change. In this rancorous and difficult times, working together has never been harder or more important. Some have questioned why I would work together with the governor or legislative leaders on any initiative when we have so strongly disagreed. I stood steadfast with parents and teachers and community leaders in opposition to the devastating state budget cuts, the expansion of vouchers while cutting public schools, and the elimination of collective bargaining. And I stand with them still today. I believe as strongly today as I did then that these were the wrong choices for our kids, for our communities, and for Wisconsin. However, we cannot afford to let conflicts among adults rob our children of the educational opportunities they need. I am committed to finding common ground and working together to improve education for our children wherever possible. Our kids deserve no less than that from us. So with eyes wide open, I will continue to drive this agenda forward and fiercely advocate for our kids. We will work together when we can and stand opposed when we cannot, because that's what leaders do. But I will always put the best interests of kids at first. We know our challenges: declining wages, growing income and wealth inequality, and disinvestment in education are threatening the foundations of our economy and our democracy. As I said before, I love Wisconsin. I was born and raised and educated in the public schools of Plymouth and the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm married to a Wisconsin educator. My three kids went to public schools, as do three of my school-age grandkids. I will always stand up for Wisconsin children, parents, educators, public libraries, and public education. I ask you to join me in rallying around our public schools and libraries and to support our students and all the educators, librarians, and support staff who work daily to build a more prosperous future for Wisconsin. Thank you all. God bless the citizens of Wisconsin, and God bless you. Thank you.